Ladies and gentlemen, this is this announcement for all passengers traveling at Qatar Airways Flight 4.
Welcome to The Hold Room with ACC, a quick update on all things relating to airport development as well as the Airport Consultants Council. As many of you know, we host short 15-minute programs several times a month. So far, we've interviewed some ACC leaders and members, offered perspective from Washington, D.C., and hopefully provided a little insight from the Airport Consultants Council.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of the ACC Hold Room. I'm TJ Schultz, president of the Airport Consultants Council. And I'm very, very pleased to have a special guest of honor today, one Roddy Bogus, the Vice President of Aviation Architecture with RSNH. I really think the world of Roddy, and he's been with me since the get-go, since I started here at ACC. In fact, he served as the ACC board chair a couple of years ago, did just an excellent job in that capacity. And Roddy has worn many hats throughout his long, long career, and I've always kind of turned to him as being a advisor on kind of what's happening today in the aviation development industry and what's going to be happening in the future. So Roddy, welcome to the Hold Room.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, TJ. What you said wasn't exactly true, of course, but I'll take it.
Okay. Yeah. Just take what you can get and let's move on here. All right. So Roddy, what have you been doing lately? What's a typical day in the life of Roddy nowadays?
Well, I'm my own worst enemy and I think probably like everybody else in our industry today, I've just been overcome by the amount of work that's trying to come in the door. And that I'm of that age and that era where I believe in getting my hands wet. So I've been incredibly busy, so much so that I've even gone to where I turn off all my email notifications. I put my phone on Do Not Disturb just to try to get some time to get work done so I can complete my job. So it's been incredibly busy. You know, it's that ebb and flow of, are you happy with being super busy or would you rather be super non-busy? And sometimes I don't know that I always feel that I know the answer for that. I'd like to be somewhere in the middle, but it seems like just like politics today, you're either on one side or the other and you're never in the middle. So we'll take it as it comes and just busy.
You've been, again, through many cycles in the aviation industry. Normally, I think we're looking at a trend of about every 7 years of, you know, growth and then some kind of shock or economic downturn. And I think, as you know, we've really been on the up and up for well beyond that 7 year cycle. Have you ever seen it like this before?
No, and it has me, I don't know, I'm a little disturbed because I feel like when you look back over history, and I know you and I have discussed this, every 7 years kind of on center, there's been something that it kind of resets and for us in the aviation and then causes aviation to grow higher and higher. We've been 10, maybe 11 years now. In fact, I think you recall when I was the board chair, tended to be a little conservative because I expected the downturn to happen. Mm-hmm. And I watched the GDP quite a bit because, the aviation industry, follows the GDP almost parallel. And I just keep going, I'm super happy about it, but how far can it go before we have some sort of reset? And I'm constantly a little bit apprehensive about that, but man, there's just an awful lot going on right now, and I'd hate to upset that apple cart. So it has me jumpy, and I'm trying to make good business decisions that will allow me to weather any kind of setback that could happen. But the same token, they say you've got to make hay while the sun's shining, and we've got some bright sunshine.
And you have a marvelous tan, by the way, which I noticed.
Thank you.
So, let's go back to the last recession, I think, 2009 through 2010. And really, airports just shut down. There wasn't a whole lot of any work going on. And quite frankly, that could have been a really good time to do all of these, capacity and redevelopment projects. But now we're playing catch up. So let's say we get into some kind of recession. Do you think anything's going to be different with any kind of economic downturn? And maybe talk a little bit about kind of the state of the airlines and what are you seeing from airports as it relates to, what they may be doing if there is an economic downturn?
So you just asked a big question there. my big fear is, in the business side, in my side of the business, we're all about backlog and your security, of course, is having backlog. So if, in theory, if things go down and contracts slow down, contracts you already have will take you through that period. What concerns me in that is that I don't know if that will be true. If there is some sort of downshifting to a lower version of our economy, and it impacts, you know, our medium and smaller hub airports, which, you know, everybody's doing things right now, how much of that backlog will remain, or how much of it will fall off? Because, you know, when times are good, it's easier to spend capital, it's easier to get investment. But if people become wary, even the things that are going now, will they maintain, or will there be off ramps that many people have to take? So if we were to have a drawdown, and of course, conventional wisdom, whoever makes that up, is saying that if we have a drawdown, they think it will be minor and it won't be major at all, which is of some comfort. But just like the last time in 2008, I don't know that our country and where our funding comes through has the foresight or the fortitude that when the drawdown happens, that they'll say, let's use this time to catch up. I think, you know, they'll just cut off the loose ends and we'll be where we'll be. And then, you know, when we climb back up, we'll be in the exact same spot. I think as long as the funding streams remain what they are today without any substantial change, I think we're always going to be in an arrears kind of point of view. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the air carriers, you know, they learned a lot after, you know, 2008, and they have really come through and done some phenomenal things. And just like pre-911, so many of the major carriers are providing financing and working their deals out with the airport. And so, you know, we have a little more of a private side impacting the public side of the work. And but even now, some of the major carriers, some of them seem to be a little more restrained in their spending and their capital spending, even at their major hubs, having a hard time mm-hmm. making decisions. I feel like, you know, I'm seeing the degradation of what they were trying to do was put capacity constraints on. And now that we've been going good for so long, it's kind of like after 9-1-1 where people forget what got us there and things we had to do immediately after that. I feel like capacity constraint on the air carriers has come off a little bit, and we're seeing more, you know, fortressing and putting routes in that add capacity or overcapacity to routes. And I don't know if that's indicative of change that's forthcoming.
Yeah. And I happened to talk to a senior vice president with Delta and kind of try to get assess kind of where he thought the industry was going as it relates to the capital development programs. And he seemed pretty bullish, even in, you know, if there is a recession. He seemed to think that work was going to continue, first and foremost, because a lot of the funding has already been secured through bonding and things like that. And he did note, you know, air cargo is something that is starting to take a hit a little bit with some of the trade discussions and the trade war between the U.S. and China. That's actually starting to take a bite right now. But, you know, I think a lot think that might be more of a short-term item. But, you know, when you look at the airlines too, massive consolidation, we kind of have the new normal right now, at least as it relates to the legacy carriers. And they are also sitting on a lot of cash, which was not the case back in the late 2000s. And, you know, you start hearing about fuel. Fuel is certainly a big thing, and that seems to be somewhat leveled off. Labor, you know, certainly some of the carriers are having discussions with labor unions and costs are going up on that front. But it seems like they're certainly in a better position to weather a recession than they were last time.
I can't argue with CEOs of Delta. And, you know, let's face it, Delta and United are seemingly are doing really, really well. United's pulled themselves out of a bucket, you know, they put themselves into. Delta seems to be doing very well. But, you know, we always look for external events when we talk about the economy and what maybe precipitates a downturn. Could this next downturn, if there is one, be precipitated by the Boeing MAX and the struggles that Boeing has happened and the fact that the delay keeps getting stretched farther and farther, and so many carriers have put so much money in these new aircraft that are now sitting down, not to mention the planes they've retired, that they're metal poor, and some of the decisions they're making are decisions based on that 737 MAX sitting on the ground. Still, for how long, we don't know.
Yeah, and we should be getting some sort of clarity and potential way forward in the next month or two, either way, you know, how that's going to go. And then you have the international regulators and how they're going to respond to the FAA determinations on that front. So let's turn a little bit to the next 5 years. And in particular, I think you would acknowledge that here at ACC, we've seen a huge evolution and a growth in the diversity of the types of companies that have joined ACC. You know, back in the day, it was very heavy in the architectural planning design companies. And we've just seen a huge explosion of different diverse type companies that can really do anything at an airport right now, including a lot of contractors, finance and equity companies. Security is certainly a big proportion of our membership as well. Talk a little bit about 5 years from now, Roddy, and what do you think are some of the key services that airports will be relying on from the private sector ACC members? What do you think is really going to be rising to the top over the next 5 years?
Well, I think the growth that we've seen, as you just mentioned, is fantastic. And we were looking for that so many years ago, and we just couldn't seem to find our way into it. And then it seems like within 2 or 3 years, all of a sudden, contractors involved, we've got the equity companies, and it continues to grow that way. Things are moving so much faster than they used to be. I really think that all of us in the industry that are already members are going to have to embrace data analytics and data analytics or big data in a big way, for a couple of reasons. You know, so many of our members, our membership is made up of architects and engineers, a lot of that, and now with the general contractors, the amount of projects that both of these groups do and the amount of data they retain, maybe they don't use, is significant. And if you can start to harness that data, and I've seen contractors be far more successful at that thus far than those of us in the A&E industry, that data can help you ostensibly do better projects, achieve better results, and better price points. But I think the industry that supports all of this is also changing as well. There is some conjecture that insurance companies that insure, you know, the liability of A&Es and contractors, that it will not be long now that in order to get good rates for our insurance, we will have to have some sort of data analytics that shows how we're doing. For instance, you know, if I were to look at my group and say, what's the number one change order that we get? You know, I don't know that I could, in a project, that I could tell you. But data analytics, if we kept track of all of that, could say, you know, we more often than not, this is a change order request or this is an RFI request that we get. And if we could isolate that and do better in the work we produce, then that reduces liability. And so there has been a lot of conversation lately that insurance companies will start to look to us to use our own data analytics to do better work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And you wonder what companies need to do right now in order to begin to wrap around that and be prepared for, you know, when they're getting asked questions from their insurance carrier about something like that.
Somebody said that, I don't remember who it was now, but somebody said, if your primary business is not big data, no matter what you really do, you're not going to be in business long. And I think that everybody's going to have to look at it that way, because even with that data analytics, we can go to clients and say, you know, we've just taken a look at how you use your facility. And using our analytics, we may find issues that the client didn't even know they had, or things that they can be done better. And part of that, another group is, you know, I've been talking about it for a number of years, and everybody just kind of gave me the stink eye on this, and that is the experiential journey that passengers in today's millennials and zennials now seem to propagate to. And studies are showing they're not spending money on things near as much as they are spending on experiences. And even bad experiences are experiences. So what are we doing in our industry, in the transportation, aviation world, so when people go through the airport, are we selling experiences? You know, we've gone so long about, well, we want 100% footfall through the duty-free when we come out of the security checkpoint. Was that a yesteryear thing? Is that an experience? Or are concessions going to start adapting and become more concessions that sell experiences in the airport? And if so, what would that look like? And so I know that we've got 2 or 3 members, probably more, but 2 or 3 that I know of in ACC that are actively pursuing experiential planning on how to plan experiences into a passenger's journey. And that, to me, comes back to the thing we've talked about for a while, is the passenger experience, where everybody's been free to say, hey, well, you know, it's all about the passenger experience. And I've always gone, okay, well, which passenger is that? Is it the Spirit passenger, which is a low-cost passenger and has almost probably their expectations are on the floor because they're wearing seven pairs of clothes, not to have to pack as much and pay for that? Or is it, you know, the United, their highest frequent flyer that expects something different? How do we cover the gamut? And maybe through experiential planning in our terminals, we can provide experiences for, you know, the passengers from A to Z.
I saw a really interesting presentation at the Future Travel Experience from a former head architect for MGM Resorts, and how they've really had to take a second look at casinos and how they're designed and what millennials are currently looking for. And it's not so much gambling. It's more the experiential, you know, going to Vegas to have a good time. And they really want to have that experience start from when they book the ticket all the way through, you know, their trip to check in and, you know, their experience on site. So there's a lot of interesting parallels I saw with what, you know, resorts and casinos are doing to attract the next millennium coming in and looking for experiential type travel.
I think we're going to learn some lessons from other industries like the casinos, like big stadiums. I've got some friends that are taking lessons they've learned from doing stadium work and try to apply it to airport work. And I'm anxious to see what happens there. And I guess the last big thing that's coming, and maybe it's not that big a thing, is landside. I think we've neglected our landside facilities. Neglected may be too strong of a word, but we haven't paid enough attention to them over the years because we paid attention to the airside and the terminal. And now with everything happening from, you know, autonomous vehicles, the continued proliferation of TNCs, the amount of vehicles on the curb, and now electric, you know, VTOL taxis that are coming, how are those going to integrate with our airports? And it seems to me like they're going to have to integrate on the land side. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves and many of our clients starting to pay attention to that. And how do we handle that? Because, well, we're space constrained on a lot of places in the airport. The land side in many airports is just as space constrained. So how do we handle that?
And from my perspective, that's almost more stressful than actually going through security. And, you know, I'm pre-check, so I have some relative assurance on the time it'll take to get through security. But, you know, how long is it going to take for me to get up to the curbside? And what is that journey going to be like? And even, you know, arriving somewhere and trying to find your Uber has become quite the challenge. So I agree that the land side, I would say it's been neglected, and certainly we're starting to focus on what needs to be done to, you know, again, enhance the passenger process on that side and the experience.
Well, and I'm working with one of our fellow companies in ACC. We can see a day in the very near future where the VIG that airports are taking from the TNCs, they could lose that. And, you know, many airports are getting a substantial amount of money through VNC, TNCs right now. And if they were to wake up one day and lose that because they don't see maybe what's coming or what the carriers may be doing or what the TNCs are trying to partner with, that monetization of the curb, just like the monetization of baggage, could be something that passes them by. And once again, the airports lose a significant amount of revenue that they count on from non-aeronautical.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we are going to wrap up with one last question. And you are a seasoned traveler, a veteran traveler, and in the past you have not held back as it relates to what is annoying Roddy nowadays. So I'm fascinated to hear, you know, what is annoying you now as it relates to the air travel?
Well, I guess there's two things that I think of right off the bat. One is the carriers that still have their boarding processes that's a mob mentality. You know, I used to think that the Southwest and the United and the Delta analog version of boarding with those monoliths you stand behind, I thought, okay, I don't like that. But you know what? People want a place to be, and that works. People are in their group of five, and there's still some carriers out there that don't do that or do it, you know, internationally but not domestically or vice versa. That boarding process of gate huggers and swarming the gate, that's got to change. The other thing is my time as a very frequent traveler seems to be of very little value to our air carriers. When they're late on arriving and I get on the plane, they're hustling me down the aisle. Hurry, we're going to be late. And it seems like as a passenger, I have no value to the carrier. And I don't know where that customer service shift happens. In fact, maybe we're starting to see some of it with some changes in some of the carriers are doing. But strictly as a passenger, not as an industry veteran of any way and sort, I would like to feel a little more valued as a passenger and that my time is worth something. And that's, I think, like a lot of things, air travel has been commoditized so much that maybe those days are gone. So I guess you give it a big pacifier for being the big baby.
Well, it's a double-edged sword. We value and we benefit from having affordable travel and people being able to go and take a flight when, you know, a few decades ago it was cost prohibitive. Yeah. So, it's that fine balance of having a good passenger experience versus it just being a slog through, you know, one uncomfortable step to another. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. And I hear you with the gates. I wonder if at some point we'll get more to a European model where, you know, people aren't shown their gates until 20 minutes before boarding and they'll have to hang out in common areas and things like that and shop and eat and things. But
Conversation's been around for as long as I've been around and maybe we're starting to see some inklings of it, but I don't know that I'm seeing enough of it to bet on it one way or another.
Roddy, it's great having you join us. And I want to catch up with you again in the near future. And we'll kind of figure out where we're going in this big plane and as relates to the industry and everything like that. Always appreciate your insights and your thoughts. And thanks again for joining us on The Hold Room.
Thank you, TJ.
Take care.